From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Steve Brown. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. It's springtime in New England. May is nearly upon us, the blossoms are emerging, and the weather is finally starting to warm up again. But it's also warming in some areas where it shouldn't be happening, at least not just yet. On Mount Washington, the region's highest peak, temperatures are also rising. WBUR's Hannah Shenatry reports climate change is to blame, and she is with us today to tell us more. Hey there, Hannah. Thanks for coming on, and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Thanks for having me.
So, Hannah, take us up to Mount Washington in the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
Yeah, so I went to the summit of Mount Washington back in February. It's 6,288 feet above sea level, so we took a snowcat to get up there. And Steve, while February may have been pretty cold and gray for us down on the coast, up there it was a mild day, at least by Mount Washington's winter standards. It was in the low 20s. The winds were around 50 miles per hour with gusts hitting 60, and it was sunny.
I love a nice day in February.
Yeah, it was great, especially considering all the prep work and the gear I had to bring in case the weather was terrible. My guide for the day was Brian Fitzgerald, who is Director of Science and Education at the Mount Washington Observatory. He said we were very lucky to be feeling the sun.
I mean, it's unbelievably clear day up here. We're in the clouds 60% of the year, so we're very lucky today. We have a view.
And it was so clear, we could see Mount Mansfield and Stowe all the way off in Vermont.
That sounds nice, but I take it relatively warm days like this on top of Mount Washington aren't necessarily a good sign of things to come.
Yeah, I mean, they do get days where it can be warmer on the summit than the base, but generally speaking, this was a rare, clear day. The observatory famously claims the summit has the world's worst weather because they've clocked wind speeds well over 200 miles per hour and at one point held the record for the highest speed ever recorded. Now, it's really important to note one nice day is not indicative of anything, and weather and climate change are not interchangeable. Think of it like your clothes. An individual item or outfit is weather, but your entire wardrobe is climate. You start to understand what's changing through long-term data. And you get that on Mount Washington because Fitzgerald oversees a team who records that weather. They live on the summit in week-long shifts and go outside every hour, every day, regardless of the conditions. When I went up to the observatory, I rode up with members of that team for the shift change, including a weather observer named Jackie Bellefontaine.
Well, yeah, you get accustomed to different temperatures and different wind speeds as well. Like this for me, I'm pretty used to it. So I'm still getting, you know, a little sea-legged when you first come back up here on Wednesday. So like, okay, here we are back in the wind.
Sea legs. Sounds like Antarctica or something.
Yeah, it really is like stepping into another world. Everything is coated in ice, and we were so high up that some of the clouds that day were below us.
And the cloud cover right now, we have a lot of higher level clouds, a few mid-level clouds. And then we also have, going over to the east there, we have that little bit of a partial undercast happening, so the clouds below us as well.
And so Bellefontaine feeds these measurements into a computer database, which is typically used to calculate weather forecasts. But it's also become a critical piece of information in the study of climate change.
That's very interesting. And so what have they been finding?
So the Mount Washington Observatory and the Appalachian Mountain Club recently analyzed the data going back nearly 90 years. And the results are worrying. Brian Fitzgerald says it proves the summit has gotten warmer and climate change is the cause.
It's not just up to random chance that it may, you know, fluctuation year to year is just causing it. No, there's something happening. There is a trend.
Fitzgerald says it's actually somewhat noticeable among the observers. When he worked as one, he broke more maximum temperature records than any minimums. And this study shows those moments are part of a larger shift. Because of the rising temperatures, Mount Washington has lost roughly 2 weeks of frost conditions over the course of the study. The study also looked at the nearby mountain pass Pinkham Notch and found a dramatic decline in snowfall. I spoke with Georgia Murray about this. She's a staff scientist at the Appalachian Mountain Club, and she really led the analysis.
In fact, it's 68 inches less total snowfall over that time period of the 84 years. So pretty significant shifts.
And Steve, while the effects of climate change in the mountains are a global problem, what's happening on Mount Washington and at Pinkham Notch has distinct consequences for the region. The loss of snow means the local ski areas need to make more of their own, which costs money. But even that requires cold temperatures, which Murray says are happening less frequently.
And we certainly are on a trajectory to experience more of those, you know, winters that are... One term that's been out there is winter whiplash, where we're in winter and then we're not, and we're in winter and we're not.
And it's not just seasonal changes or consequences for the ski industry. Murray says people can see the effects in their own backyards.
Yeah, I've noticed. I'm still harvesting tomatoes from my garden well into October. Tell us more about these effects and what are the next steps?
Yeah, well, so you're not alone. In addition to the loss of snow, the region is seeing a longer growing season. And that may be great for your garden, but these changes could impact plants and animals that are used to a specific climate. And we're actually seeing that a little bit among the northeastern moose population. The calves are dying. So there's this specific tick species that latch onto moose in the fall to feed, but it's in such high numbers that it's really an infestation. And it can be so severe that it kills young moose calves. With climate change delaying the start of winter, these ticks have more time to latch on. And what's usually a 1 to 2 year infestation is getting longer. Fitzgerald and Murray also have more questions about what this could do to fragile alpine ecosystems and why the summit is warming more slowly than the base. So they have more studies planned, and those studies will have even more data to work with because the observers are still up there collecting the weather every hour.
Well, thanks, Hannah, for your reporting on this story.
My pleasure.
That's WBUR reporter Hannah Shenatry. Before we go, here's what else is happening. The state Senate has given the green light to a bill that would allow some legalized sports gambling in Massachusetts. The bill approved last night would let people over 21 bet at casinos, online, or at 6 new brick-and-mortar sports betting parlors statewide. Senator Michael Roderick says he's proud of the model that lawmakers settle on for sports gambling.
We've taken our time. We've looked at what states around us have done well. We've looked at what states around us have not done well. We've asked our peers in other states, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
While the Senate bill does not allow for wagering on college sports, a bill approved last summer by the House does, those differences, among others, still need to be worked out. But Governor Baker says he supports the idea of sports gambling in general. In other news, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley is doubling down on her call to end a policy that has blocked immigrants from entering the U.S. during the pandemic. She joins other congressional Democrats who say Title 42 has done little to prevent the spread of COVID. Pressley says the policy instead turned away nearly 2 million people fleeing humanitarian disasters.
Whether they are fleeing the violence and bloodshed in Ukraine or Haiti, we see you. We value your life and you deserve the right to seek asylum.
President Biden's plan to lift Title 42 is now temporarily blocked by a federal judge in Louisiana. And finally, the city of Cambridge will use $22 million in American Rescue Plan Act funding to help low-income families. In her State of the City address, Mayor Sumbul Siddiqui says the money will be used to expand a pilot program that aims to help those hit hard by the pandemic.
Provide direct cash assistance in the form of $500 a month for approximately a year and a half to every single family under the federal poverty level.
The mayor says direct cash assistance has proven to be an effective anti-poverty strategy, allowing families to use the funds the best way they see fit. Well, we've made it through another week. Get out and enjoy the weekend because Monday we'll be here in a flash. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Steve Brown. Catch you next time. Hey, you're a podcast listener, obviously. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? Well, I'd suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just the local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.